Father, bless the word to our hearts this morning. May the anointing that we've been experiencing in this time of worship continue to grow as we listen to your word. Whenever God moves, he releases power and he releases his word. Both are necessary. That's why it says in the scriptures that he confirmed the word that was being spoken with signs and wonders. And about the power, I wish I had more to say about it. I just feel I need to experience it more, then I'll probably have more to say about it. But I hope everyone here has what I would call just the childlike faith of believing God for the supernatural to come forth. Amen. Please don't make excuses. Don't be of the mindset, well, we're not seeing it happen, therefore we're going to somehow dumb down the gospel where it's not necessary. Of course it's necessary. In every miracle that God releases, there's an arrow. And if we look at the arrow is always pointing to the source of the miracle. And that's the important thing to follow. Gifts of healing or miracles, although they testify of the power of God, they impart faith, create faith in people, they don't tell you anything about the character of the person that may have the gift. And that's where a lot of people have stumbled. They'll think, well, if a miracle is being performed, the character of Christ in that person must be a lot greater. No. It doesn't say anything about the spiritual growth of that person. A gift is a gift. It's free. Right. Also, if someone has a gift of miracles or healing, we tend to put more weight on what they have to say. But it doesn't mean that they have the word any clearer than someone else. They simply have a gift demonstrating the power of God that we all need. We thank God for the gift. But a lot of people have stumbled because they've looked at people that have moved in these gifts. And when these people have had problems in the flesh, they said, well, that can't be of God. The gift is of God. And we want to be very careful not to throw out the baby with the bathwater. But the second part, and that's what the word's on this morning, is the word. The word of God in your life, which happens when God is moving by the Spirit, that word is directly, it has a lot to do with the character of Christ in you. It has a lot to do with your perception and what you see. And we're in a time right now where God is opening up a new level of revelation and understanding. And I think this is very important that we understand how this takes place. The word of God coming forth, to a lot of people, Christians, that has to do with what God has said. When they think about the word of God, they think about understanding what the Bible means. Study the Hebrew, study the Greek, all that is good. Let's find out what God really said in the word. When we're talking about a living word, it's more than just that. You have to add a step. It's not only what God has said, but a living word is what God is saying. And do we have ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking in the present? A living word requires that we have ears that are open to the Spirit and that we're actively listening to what our Father is speaking. And that's very, very important right now. It always is important. But especially in this season, with so much going on, we need to be aware of what the Father is doing. A living word has in it what I call the spiritual DNA of the cross and the resurrection. The living word is more than just theory or doctrines or teachings. It has the very presence of God embedded in the word. When we're experiencing his word, we're able to see clearly who the Father is because of that. And if we can see him clearly, what does the scripture say? If our eyes are on him and we're beholding him, what happens to us? We're changed in the same image. When the word is able to show us who Jesus really is and who the Father really is, then we see our own destiny and identity in a clear way in that. When we allow the living word to work within us, it'll always work to create a new wineskin so that that word can be held in a way that honors the Father. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. What happens when the wineskin isn't new. But I'm going to read just a couple of verses from John 1. And you don't have to turn there right now. We're going to be in the book of John a little bit this morning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Down in verse 12 it says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. This chapter is talking about the Word not just being with God, but God himself is expressed in the Word. And it talks about the Son, Jesus Christ. And he says, whoever believes in him, what? Has the right to become a son of God. But again, it's talking about the Word. When we allow the living Word of God to work within us, we experience transformation. Something is created within us. We're created in the image of the Son. Something changes within us. You can't be listening and be submitting to a word that God is speaking to your heart and not have a new wineskin being created within you. It's important to know that the Word in our heart, when it is creating what God wants, is what launches new things in the earth. The book of Acts is a prime example. But if we're looking ahead and looking at seeing what God wants to do in the earth, it's born out of the Word that is effectively working in the people of the Lord. So it's important how we hold the Word. You remember Jesus said, I have many things to share with you, but you can't bear them. Everybody wants to pray for new revelation. That's a given. But how many of us pray to be a new wineskin so that we can bear the revelation when it comes? We just assume we're ready, right? I should have Jack Nicholson here to express this. You know, you want the truth, you can't handle the truth, but that is the truth, really. We don't want to admit that to ourselves, but that is the truth. We assume that no teaching is going to be so strange that, you know, it's not like you're going to hear something, a teaching, and your head's going to explode, right? What we can't handle is the presence of God in the Word. It's not just what is being said. When a word comes and we say, okay, that's fine, that teaching's good, there's the presence of the cross and the resurrection, the power of God. Can we hold that in our life in a way where it brings glory to God? Let's turn to John chapter 16. Verse 13. Verse 12. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak and disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take what is mine and disclose it, speak it, reveal it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I say, he will take of mine and give it to you. Okay, this is why we have the Holy Spirit. Open channel. Jesus said, it's all open. Access. Whatever my Father has, he's given to me. Whatever I have, I give to you. Process of revelation. Disclosure. The Holy Spirit giving to us. What is the problem then? The problem is not in God's intent of trying to hold things back from us. The problem is, we cannot hold or bear what he wants to give. Amen. The worst thing that can happen is that God give us truth that we can't hold. New wine coming in an old wineskin, what happens? It bursts. God doesn't want his word to be spilled all over the ground. He wants his word to be held in hearts that have been prepared so that his word can accomplish his purpose. Amen. Can I give you an example? There's many of them, but the Latter Rain movement, how many have heard of that? It originated in the late 40s, from 48 to 52. It's affected many of us here, probably in ways you're not even aware of. What happened during that movement, of course, like any revival, you had healings, you had miracles. But some things came forth in a new way. Laying on of hands, commissioning. Apostles, prophets began to be recognized that these were gift ministries that we needed now in the church. Even our style of worship, it was a revelation about the tabernacle of David, singing in the Spirit. A lot of things came out of that. A lot of problems came out too. And I want this to be an example that if the word was right, but in some ways we couldn't bear what was being revealed. Commissionings. It's interesting. There were a number of different streams that came out of the latter rain. Men of God that were commissioned as apostles, prophets. And later, looking back, it's interesting that these different streams or groups all went through similar blessings and problems. They tended to get isolated from one another. They didn't play well together. This day and age, ministries, no matter what their way of thinking or doctrines, they tend to flow together more. There's more of a unity and oneness. Back then, it's kind of like you identified with a particular group or ministry. You were set there. Really wasn't a whole lot of openness to what some other ministry was doing. So there was isolation. Whenever God releases authority, I think it pulls out of us a cry. Either we humble our hearts and say, Father, make me a disciple. Because we recognize that there's an authority to bring us forth in Christ. Or we cry out and say, Father, look at that anointing. We want a king. And we take the ministry that God's given, put them on a pedestal, make an idol out of them. And then what's happening? It's an old wineskin. It's just pride, right? Not recognizing why God is giving the gifting. And that new wine, that revelation that's there, just kind of bursts through. What are we robbed of? I think latter rain we had true, valid commissionings of the Lord. But there wasn't the growth. There wasn't the fruitfulness that God intended. Because in many ways, as people, we couldn't bear what was being given. There wasn't the level of humility. Read the New Testament about apostleship. Read how Paul describes his apostleship. The humility, the responsibility it puts on people. It's not like you're following some hero. When you're submitting to a ministry of the Lord, it means that you're saying, I'm moving forward as a disciple. I'm receiving an impartation so I can grow. Right. None of this, we want a king, we need a hero, this guy will do. So you see, it's how important it is that we be ready when God speaks something. You say, well, yeah, I see Ephesians 4. Apostles, prophets, great, I'm on board. I love the teaching. But can we handle the presence of God that comes with that truth and how it changes us, what it requires from us? Sometime I'd like to go into a little more about the latter rain movement, but that's for another time. We're talking about bearing the truth. We need to understand that it's a process to come to a place where we can hold what God is speaking. Stick with me here for a few minutes. I want to just touch on different things with the disciples. Jesus had a group of people following him that didn't get it. He had 3.5 years with them. Very short interval of time followed that, and then they were going to launch a new age. Matthew 17, Jesus is talking to his chosen few and saying, listen, this is what's going to happen to me. I've got to go to the cross. I'm going to give up my life. And Peter stands up and says, oh, no, that's not going to happen to you. And of course, Jesus rebukes him. You know the story. He says, Peter, you're not setting your interest. You're not holding God's interest. This is all about you and what you want, not what God wants. We know it, but do we realize that Peter was simply voicing what I think all of them were thinking? And it was very normal to think that way. Why? Because the expectation for everyone at that time was that the Messiah would come and be an earthly king. Now, why did they have that expectation? It's in the Bible. It's scriptural. That's a promise we're still believing for, right? It hasn't happened yet. Jesus Christ as king of this earth. His government established. So when he appeared on the scene, they thought, now it's going to happen. He's going to overthrow the Roman government. We're going to have our own nation. God's going to rule over us. So doesn't it make sense to you that if this guy, Jesus, is talking about dying, Peter would say, wait a minute, you're going to be our king. He probably thought Jesus was having a bad day, being negative, right? So it's understandable. They expected Jesus to come forth as an earthly king. He came as our priest, laying down his life so that we could have God's life. They didn't get it. even after he brought the rebuke. And what do we learn about this as far as the word working in us, the process of the word? It doesn't take very long before God's interests and our interests start to collide. And that's part of being prepared to hold the truth. Let's go forward. Nothing changes with them. John chapter 6, Jesus is speaking again. Again, a very familiar passage. You must eat of my flesh, drink of my blood, or you'll have no life in yourself. He didn't go on to explain what New Covenant was all about. Everyone was trying to make him a king. He didn't want that type of following because he wasn't there to be king. So he doesn't explain it, lets them all wander off, disillusioned, confused. Peter says, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Again, do you see how the word in their heart is starting to prepare them? Like Abraham. Abraham, I want you to go. Abraham's out the door saying, I'm on my way, God. And God doesn't finish the sentence. Go out. Go out where? The where doesn't get answered. You just launch out following the Lord. So what is this all about? How are we trained by the word? Not to be dominated by our natural reasoning. If we can't figure things out, we're not going to move. No. You move because you have faith in the Lord. Understanding comes later. Again, working with his disciples, trying to form something in them. Now, how are they doing at this point? They still don't get it. After the cross, Jesus comes back. You remember they're huddled in the room? Where is that? That's in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22. It says he walked right through the walls. What were they doing in that room? They were afraid for their lives. It says they feared the Jews. He comes through the walls and he says, peace be unto you. And then he says, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is after he went to the cross, after he rose again. They are huddled in fear because they do not understand what this is all about. I love this passage. To me, I think we all need to know the Lord in this way. When we're boxed in by our fears, and people, religion will tell you, well, God will never meet you like that. I love it when the grace of God just comes right through those walls. He loves us so much, he says, peace be unto you. I'm here to impart my life to you. Here is the Holy Spirit. This is going to be your reality in the days ahead. He's imparting to them. Do they get it yet? Acts chapter 1. Last time with his disciples, right? They're getting ready to go to the upper room. They have a question to ask him. Jesus is probably thinking, okay, they're probably going to ask, what would they ask? What would you want to ask at a time like that? Okay, Lord, can you go over it one more time? What's going to happen? We're going to go to this upper room. What's the plan here? What did they ask? What's the question? You remember in Acts 1? Is now the time that you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? That same mindset. After all this, they're still thinking, Jesus, aren't you going to be our earthly king here? And you remember, anybody here watch NCIS? I probably shouldn't use this reference, but there's a character, a few honest people, okay. Yes. Yeah, the Denoso one character will say something stupid and the Mark Harmon will slap him in the back of the head. Yeah, right. This is one of those moments, I think. You know, this guy's asking a question. Are you going to set up your king, be a king now? Here he's getting ready to leave. Still, they're not getting it. Yet a short time afterwards, what happens? The upper room, the spirit falls. They get it. Now, all that time, was it wasted? No, they were being prepared. It didn't look like anything was happening, but a lot was happening. Then when the Spirit came in the book, Acts chapter 2, the Spirit fell. There was preparation in their heart. And when the power of the Spirit hit that preparation, they burst forth with a whole new revelation. They got it. What was the thing Jesus wanted them to get? It wasn't just about going out from that upper room and saying, hey, there's a man here named Jesus that you put to death. He was the Son of God. He rose again. It wasn't about just a past event. It started there, but they came out saying, good news, he lives in us. New covenant, what's it all about? Before new covenant, God was not in people. He was with people. New covenant is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Like Paul said, where does God dwell? We're the temple of the Spirit. He dwells in us. A whole new revelation. Tremendous revelation. That was a truth that they could bear because they'd been prepared. Everyone here, you probably look and say, well, man, I don't see, I'm like I'm making much progress. Well, take encouragement from what the disciples went through. How can you possibly evaluate where you're at spiritually? Keep opening your heart to the Word of God, submitting your heart to His Word working within you. Because the time will come, like what came this morning, that touch of the Spirit, when that is coupled with a prepared heart, revelation is a result. And it's revelation that's in a new wineskin, so that Word can come forth. We can be living epistles, known and read of all people. It can glorify God. All right, one more thing here. In this change into a new wineskin, preparation means a change of relationship. And I want to talk to you about slaves and friends. I think much of the church has had a slave mentality, and that's the way people have related to God. Now, part of that is so wonderful. What are we talking about? Being a bondservant. When we talk about a deepening relationship with the Lord, it's not that we throw that away. It's that we build upon that. Amen. So the part of you that wants to be a bondservant, that'll always be there. But the slave mentality, that where you only see God as a master giving out orders, that needs to change. That wineskin can't hold the reality of new covenant, that He lives in you, He delights in you. According to the relationship we have to Him, will determine what we hear. Turn with me to John chapter 12. Verse 28, a voice comes out of heaven. First, Jesus says, Father, glorify thy name. This is John 12, 28. A voice came out of heaven. I both glorified it and will glorify it again. The multitude, therefore, who stood by and heard it were saying, thundered. Others were saying, an angel has spoken to him. And Jesus answered, this voice was not for my sake, but for yours. The Father spoke audibly. People heard different things. We hear according to the relationship that we've settled with and are with Him. Slave mentality cannot hear intimate conversation from the Father. The slave mentality does not hear the voice of approval that Jesus heard. What does a slave hear? Orders. Do this, do that. So if we're in that mindset that we're simply looking at ourselves as slaves before God, all we're concerned about, all we're hearing is how to be obedient. It's just obedient, disobedient, reward, punishment. Look at the Israelites in the wilderness. They're in the same physical place, same real estate as Moses. They're all in the same place. They won't let go of that slave mentality. They're not hearing what Moses is hearing. Moses is up on the mountain, show me thy glory. He senses the presence of God. He knows there's something more that he can experience. Those that were slaves in their thinking, all they're hearing is, just tell us what to do. Tell us what to do, Moses. What does God say? We'll do our best to do it. How well did that work out? You see, it filters through our relationship. If we have that thinking that we're just slaves to a master, all we're going to hear is orders and commands. And we're going to be performance-oriented. We're not going to hear the voice of approval that says, I love you. I receive you the way you are. We're not going to really experience grace and the love and the goodness that the Father has for us. So, we close with this, John 15. Jesus turns to his disciples. Verse 15 says, no longer do I call you slaves. What does that mean? He's identifying that at one time, that's what they were called, and that's how they related to him. For a slave does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain. Whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Beautiful, isn't it? We want to hear more. We want to hold greater truth. It's only in a relationship of friendship. What does God reveal to his friends? His heart. God can reveal his ways to friends, but not to a slave. Right? Jesus looked and said, something's changing with you guys. Same group of guys, they didn't see any difference, but he says, no, you're not slaves anymore. You've become friends with God. He's going to reveal his secrets. He's going to reveal his mind, his heart to you. The wineskin that is a friend with God can hold the truth of who God is and what God is doing. God can share his heart. Isn't that a wonderful thing to have? I think this is what he wants for us in this hour. Now, the next verse talks about whatever you ask the Father in my name, I'll give it to you. Oh, what a verse. Of course, people quote this right and left. It's like, oh, boy, yeah. I've got so many things I want, and I've got a verse. I can just ask it, and God will give it to me. Think about this. He spoke this to guys that would go into a city, and when they weren't received, they go to Jesus and say, can we call fire down from heaven to destroy these people? He's telling these guys that whatever you ask, my Father in my name, I'll give it to you. Can you imagine if God answered that prayer for us? I mean, you look around the city, you just see what fires erupting everywhere, people being judged. We couldn't handle it. What is he saying here? You have to read it in context. If we're friends with God, if we have that level of relationship, we're on the same page with God. What God wants to release, that's where our heart's at. If we're slaves, then we're probably also slaves to our own ego, right? Amen. And so we look at that verse and say, well, God, I want money, I want power, He's not going to answer prayers like that. We destroy ourselves. God, get rid of those people over there. They weren't open to me, you know. You imagine, I mean, the state of maturity of the church, there'd be no church left, right? But we come into that relationship of friendship. That new wineskin. Let the word work and create that. Then you look and you say, Father, you know what? I feel this closeness to you. I sense your love. What do I want? I want what you want. Amen. Not my will, but thine be done. Hallelujah. So in that light, whatever I ask, I know I'm asking what's in your heart. So of course it's going to be done. Amen. Amen. Lord, we ask that you encourage all of us because we're a lot further along spiritually than we know. Like the disciples, we don't see all the working of your spirit kind of underground in our lives, the preparation that you're doing. Our cry today, Lord, is not only give us more truth, but Father, make us that new wineskin that can hold your truth in a way that brings glory to you. Amen.